This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U-Mobile.
Good morning, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Shazana Mokhtar. Malaysia's vaccination program has been a bright spot in the ongoing pandemic, despite an initial slow start in February last year. At the end of 2021, over 57 million COVID-19 vaccine doses have been administered to 26 million Malaysian residents under the National COVID-19 Vaccination Program, also known by its Malay acronym PIK. Now, around 48% of those jabs were administered at vaccine centres coordinated by Protect Health Corporation, a subsidiary company under the Ministry of Health. Protect Health was tasked with getting private medical practitioners and healthcare NGOs involved in PIK and played a key role in accelerating vaccinations across the country. To discuss how this massive initiative played out, joining me today is Dato' Dr. Anas Alam Faizli, CEO of Protect Health. Dato' Anas, good morning and welcome to The Breakfast Grill.
Good morning.
I want to start with getting an understanding of what Protect Health is as an entity. Now, you are a not-for-profit company under the Ministry of Health. What does that mean? Are you a government agency? Are you a corporate body? What is it?
Okay, Shazana. Protect Health was incorporated on 19 December 2016 as a wholly owned subsidiary of Protect Health Malaysia, established under the Ministry of Health. It is a not-for-profit company with a strong social agenda where we coordinate, administer and manage initiatives related to financing healthcare services as mandated by the Ministry of Health. Protect Health was established with two mandates as per Jemaah Menteri decision in 2016. The first mandate is for national health financing, and the second mandate is as a strategic purchaser to reduce healthcare costs and to enhance public-private partnership in the healthcare sector. In 2019, as per our strategic purchaser mandate, we carry out our role as the healthcare scheme administrator for Scheme Peduli Kesihatan Untuk Kumpulan B40, known as PKB40. Is a financial assistance aid program for the B40 population as mandated by the government. And in November 2020, we were appointed as the electronic service provider operator for Scheme Perlindungan Insurans Kesihatan Pekerja Asing, SPIKPA. And early this year, given our experience and capabilities in discharging strategic purchaser role, Protect Health has been appointed by the Ministry of Health as the implementer of private medical practitioners and also the healthcare NGO's participation in the National COVID-19 Immunization Program, PICK.
And we are going to get into that. But I want to ask you, Dato, do you see yourself as government or private? Are you essentially a government agency?
We are pretty much not-for-profit with a strong social agenda, government-owned company under the Ministry of
Health.
So
it would be a GLC?
It's a government-owned company.
You mentioned a whole bunch of programs that Protect Health is involved in. From what I understand, Protect Health plays a bridging role between public and private healthcare, like you mentioned in the PKB40 health screening and in the COVID-19 vaccination programs. Was this always the role envisaged for Protect Health as that interlocutor between government and the private sector? You highlighted the two mandates that were outlined in 2016 when Protect Health was set up. Was that the role that was being envisioned at that time?
It's part of the role as a strategic purchaser in enhancing public and private partnership in the healthcare sector. Given that we have people from the private sector and being a company owned by the government, we understand the government mandate and we understand government policies. So it helps having people from private sector in the company to be able to also speak in a language that the private sector understands. Mm. So that gives us in a unique position to be able to bridge what the private sector would need and how we can get on their strength and assist to support all government programs. So that's where Protect Health position is in a unique way that we are owned by the government, and also we have people from various sectors of the industry with private experience.
So where does the source of your funding come from then? Do you receive an allocation under the budget or do you generate your own revenue?
The PECA B40 program has a government budget that is announced every year under the by the Ministry of Finance.
And what about for the other programs that you carry out, like the PIC program?
The PIC program, we act as a service purchaser for the government to implement the private medical practitioners' participation. So we negotiated and we fixed an agreed price for the services rendered by the private sector for vaccination administration.
But what about the running of Protect Health itself? Where does that income come from, or where does that funding come from to ensure that you are able to carry out these services and all the various programs that you run?
So part of the budget is an allocation of our for Protect Health administration. There is some allocation for Protect Health to manage our day-to-day operations.
Okay. And right now, Protect Health is limited to those three programs, the PECA B40, the SPICPA, which is the insurance scheme for foreign workers, if I'm not mistaken, if I got that right, and the vaccination program.
Yes, you got it right. So basically, it's a compulsory foreign worker insurance by MOH. And all foreign workers would need to get their insurance through all the insurance companies. But at Protect Health, we only manage the electronic service provider part. So that's part of our revenue generating income too.
I see. Let's focus on the National Vaccination Program, in which Protect Health played a crucial role in accelerating the rollout by bringing in the private sector. Now, you've said this countless times in other interviews. There was no playbook in this exercise. You went in blind. So in that sense, it could be said that Protect Health or you wrote the playbook. Armed with what you know now, what needs to be in place for these kinds of large-scale public-private healthcare initiatives to work?
I think first we need to understand what Protect Health's role is in PICK. We are the implementer of private medical practitioner and the healthcare NGOs participation in PICK. And we are guided at the beginning together with COVID Immunization Task Force, CITF, which is co-chaired by the minister from MOSTI, YB Kari Jamaluddin, and also the Minister of Health. Then Dato' Sri Adham Baba. In those meetings, there are representation from all state governments. There are representation from all healthcare representation. So all decisions are made together. And we play, like you said, there is no playbook, but we base all our decision based on science, data and evidence. So back to Protect Health's role in PICK, we discharge several responsibilities. The first is Protect Health developed a proprietary system in-house called Vaccine Control System, where it links up all our provider for registration, provider management, their onboarding, their training material, and many other functions. It is also linked to MyVas. MyVas is MySejahtera provider module. So it's linked to MyVas for paying the provider. And this system also allow us to register all our provider because we need to check all their certificates to ensure that they are valid. And from this system also, we are able to monitor vaccination activities by our provider because Protect Health also assists MOH where we do random audit at our providers. We also investigate anomalies when we see some data, example, Mr. A getting more than 3 doses or something. So something is wrong with the data. So we do investigate them. We also carry out relevant analysis and reporting. We map each district where we need more capacity and we will assist MOH to give the information to open up more PPVs at those sites. We also support the development and operations of Pusat Pemberian Vaccine that involve private medical practitioners and healthcare NGOs, including the PPV megas. And we also have a dedicated help desk and call center line for our providers. As you can see, throughout peak, throughout even now, there are new instruction because the pandemic situation is very fluid, it's uncertain. So continuous communication with our providers is very important. And we also reach out to healthcare associations to assist us in getting more providers on board. And finally, we also review setup. Now, under the booster program, there's two additional models, the Pusat Pemberian Vaksin Offsites and also the Pusat Pemberian Vaksin Outreach. So the private medical practitioner will send us application when they want to do outreach or when they want to open an offsite. And we will review if it's technically sound. We will review if they have experience to do it and to approve it.
Okay, and I'm going to cut you there, Dato, because I think we're going to discuss more on booster shots in just a bit. But I just wanted to clarify that in terms of your public-facing role then, it's really to the healthcare providers. It's not so much to the end consumers when it comes to the vaccination program. It's to the healthcare professionals that are administering the vaccines. Is that correct?
That's correct. But we also assist the Ministry of Health in terms of communication through our social media, because we are in this together.
So
you are correct. Our role is more on the provider side rather than on the vaccinee side.
Well, I was curious about Protect's Health work with the MySajatra team. You mentioned that you work with the providers in MySajatra, but in terms of discrepancies for appointments by from the consumer side, is that something that Protect Health looks at, or is that a completely different element of the CITF that looks at those kinds of issues?
Those aspect of MySejahtera, we work with getting the appointments discharged, meaning we have to inform the allotted capacity at all our vaccination centres, and it's a weekly process where MySejahtera will issue out the appointments. But MySejahtera is a separate different team, which also reports to the Ministry of Health, similar to us, where they manage all the digital certificates, they manage all the help desking with the vaccinees.
Okay. I'm speaking to Datuk Dr. Anas Alam Faizli, CEO of Protect Health. When we come back, we continue our dissection of the National Vaccination Program, or PIC, and the lessons learned. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Thanks for staying tuned to the Breakfast Grill. I'm Shazana Mokhtar, and joining me on the show today is Datuk Dr. Anas Alam Faizli, CEO of Protect Health, the healthcare services administrator under the Ministry of Health. Datuk Anas, we were talking about the PIC program, and I wanted to touch on how you bring in private medical practitioners into this program, because you've noted in past interviews that in the beginning, private medical practitioners were reluctant to participate in PIC. What concerns did they have, and how did you overcome these challenges?
So in the beginning, you are correct. There is a bit of reluctancy. Reluctancy is, most of it is contributed, number one, the uncertainty of the vaccine itself. The private medical practitioners was concerned with the AEFI management and the price. At that point of time, the government agreed to provide a payment of RM14 per vaccine administration to the providers. And this payment includes the consultation. You have to consult the vaccinee, and then you have to check them, you have to register them, you have to collect their consent form, and you have to document the consent form. And within the 30 minutes, you have to manage any AEFI before sending them to government hospitals.
Could you just clarify what AEFI means?
The adverse effect after the vaccination.
Okay.
So if there is any severe AEFI, private medical practitioners have to manage it. So at that point of time, the scope seems very big for that amount. And they unable to imagine at that point of time the how bad the adverse effect is, because we have not started the vaccination centers. But we have evidence from, because when we started in March, the US have and the UK have been doing vaccination for the past 6 months already ahead of us. So based on those data and evidence, we try to convince the private medical practitioners to come on board. And it's more of a call for a social national agenda to help the country to vaccinate as many people as possible. On a hindsight, PICK accelerated public-private partnership in healthcare sector. Because of the pandemic, I would imagine in normal scenarios, every party would go through the letter of appointment, would go through the preambles, would go through what is my liabilities, and those discussions would take years. But this is pandemic. We do not have time for that. The private medical practitioner gave faith to Protect Health, signed all our letter of appointment and came on board. And that's a big decision to make when you have so much, so many uncertainties on your face. But however, we managed to rally the private medical practitioners through a series of engagement with the association. And we personally reach out to each individual CEOs of the private hospitals. And also, we reach out to all the general practitioners in Malaysia.
Medical liability seemed to be the main issue why private medical practitioners were reluctant. But I'm wondering if it's not also a function of cost. You mentioned earlier that it's 14 ringgit per vaccination shot. But I would assume that the cost would vary depending on whether it's a private hospital or if it's a two-person clinic in Kampung Baru, for example. Is the cost fair to the various medical practitioners? And is that a reason why perhaps they weren't really willing to participate?
They made some estimate of the cost, but these numbers would depend on the volume and also the equilibrium. Also, this is a token of appreciation to get the private medical practitioners to come on board. But down the road, we see that it is a fair amount that the private medical practitioners accepted. In fact, when we started with the program, most of the general practitioners are willing to do it for free. In our engagement with them, when we do voting and polling, they are able to do for free. But we have to also bear in mind there's a fee schedule that the GPs, the general practitioners have. For consultation, it starts at 10 ringgit. So now we are talking about consultation, we're talking about giving vaccination, we're talking about managing the AEFI. But there is volume in doing the work. So at the end of the day, it seems a fair amount to the private medical practitioners. And it's pretty much more of a national service, helping the country to come out from the COVID-19 pandemic. So I'll take the opportunity to thank all the private medical practitioners that have come on board the program Imunisasi COVID Kebangsaan.
How would you respond to arguments that the red tape was really burdensome for private practitioners, including the audit measures taken to ensure quality? You mentioned that that's one of the roles that Protect Health does, but there have been complaints from some quarters that it's really burdensome on private practitioners.
Yes, we want to ensure the best quality given to the public because this involves public service. And this is where we wear our hat as a government-owned company, where we want to make sure service is provided as the best. In the beginning, we had a list of checklists that all the providers have to follow. But like I said, there was no playbook. We start with the most difficult onboarding process. And throughout the implementation, there are things that we feel unnecessary, and we work together with the Ministry of Health and also the association and the private medical practitioner to find a middle ground that works for everybody. Because at the end of the day, the objective is to give quality vaccination to the public. So we were quite, we were quite brutal in ensuring that all this is met because it is important, and we cannot risk reputation by not giving the best service to the public.
Okay. And I want to talk about mega PPVs, because one of the effective but also controversial measures taken to put jabs in arms was the setting up of mega PPV centers that would allow the mass volume of people to come in to get their vaccinations. How many mega PPVs were run by Protect Health during the PIC program, and how did you decide where to set up these PPVs?
Like I mentioned earlier, it's a whole of a government approach. All the mega PPVs are proposed by the state government. The state government will propose in the COVID Immunization Task Force Committee, and it will go to a PPV Pembukaan Committee, which will deliberate the locations, and they will map the population, the requirement, the facility, if it's good or not, and a team will audit the location. And at Protect Health's end, we bring in the private medical practitioners that have undergone, like you said, the rigorous filtering process that to come on board. Yeah.
How many PPVs in total were operation at the height of the PIC program, if you can recall?
Depends on how you differentiate the mega PPVs, because some dictate over 5,000 doses per day is S mega PPV. But to make things easy, I would just define any PPVs open outside a medical healthcare facility as a mega PPV, or we call it as an integrasi PPV, where there's government element and there's private element. Government element is on the RELA side, the facility side, and the MyVas volunteer, and also the PPV manager at all these mega PPVs. Mm. But all in all, there are close to 150 PPVs off-site that will open under the PIC. But if you specifically looking for the big ones, there were more than 41 mega PPVs doing 3,000 doses a day nationwide during PIC implementation.
So was Protect Health overseeing all of these 150 PPVs, or was it just the 41 PPVs that Protect Health directly oversaw?
So we oversee all 151 that involves the private medical practitioners. But there are also PPV awam, open off-site, where the medical practitioner is from government, from MOH. Example was Stadium Titi Wangsa. There was also few other locations which we call PPV awam. So there's two model. One is on-site at the healthcare facility. One is off-site. But at that time, MOH also have is running many awam PPV, which is at, example is Aziata Arena. In the beginning, it was manned by MOH. But in the middle, throughout PIC, MOH asked Protect Health to come in and bring in a private medical practitioner. Mm-hmm. So we changed the operator in Aziata Arena. Similarly with MITEC, when we started, there was one site manned by Ministry of Health, one site manned by private medical practitioner. Towards the end, we bring in private medical practitioners to do all the to running of the healthcare portion of the PPV.
I'm speaking to Datuk Dr. Anas Alam Faizli, CEO of Protect Health. In this extended breakfast grill, we'll come back after the 8:30 a.m. news bulletin to discuss the capacity for booster jabs. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, I'm Shazana Mokhtar, and this is an extended edition of The Breakfast Grill. With me on the show today is Datuk Dr. Anas Alam Faizli, CEO of Protect Health. Earlier, we were discussing the setting up of mega PPVs during the height of the national COVID-19 vaccination program, and you painted a complex picture of operations which highlighted the sheer number of parties working together. In hindsight, what would you say were the main challenges in coordinating these mega PPVs?
I think it boils down to basic project management, where you, when you form a team, there's always the forming, and then you have storming, and then only you have norming and performing. Why I say that is because we were opening off-site or mega PPVs on a weekly basis at the peak of its implementation. I remember we are opening 15, 20 every week. And we are looking at a PPV where we have the RELA team, MyVas team, we have people from the Ministry of Health, we have people from CITF, MOSTI, and we have the private medical practitioners. And all of them do not know each other. And you ask them to go to one location and work together. And none of them had time to introduce themselves. They just go there and start working and give vaccination. So that is quite challenging, to be honest. They are still getting to know each other. But when the public goes to the PPV, they expect everything is already well coordinated. Mm. But I think all in all, we were all galvanized under one mission to vaccinate as many Malaysians as possible, Malaysian residents, including the foreigners.
One of the issues of concern that came out regarding mega PPVs in particular was transparency and whether the administrators of the PPV were forthcoming in addressing problems that arose concerning COVID-19 infections at PPVs, for example, including among volunteers. Because you've painted such a complex chain of command or chain of involvement, it's hard for me to pinpoint who would actually be in charge of dealing with these issues. But in hindsight, knowing what you know about the managing of these PPVs, do you think that these kinds of problems was something that could have been responded to better?
So when we opened the first few mega PPVs, remember the Cucuk My Azac hype by the Twitterverse. The first four PPVs in PWTC, IDCC, UM and UKM. We envisioned this problem and it was brainstormed at CITF meetings. And CITF came out with a brilliant response. We had an organization structure for each of the PPVs where there will be one PPV manager from the Ministry of Health and one floor manager from the military. And we will have coordinators from RELA, from all the agencies working at the PPV Mega. We have daily reporting. We have incident reporting. And as far as I was involved, coming from a company that is strong in social agenda and not for profit, nothing was being hidden. All those cases that you mentioned was immediately brought up to the attention of the Ministry of Health, and it falls under the purview of the Bahagian Kawalan Penyakit or CPRC, which take immediate action. So Ministry of Health is monitoring all this. I'm not sure how to say it subtly, but most of those forwards in WhatsApp predominantly more hearsay than with evidence, because all those that is with evidence are documented in SIMCA, documented in MySejahtera, documented in Bahagian Kawalan Penyakit.
So you're saying authorities keep receipts and you do monitor all these incidences to the best of your ability. Can we talk about the booster jabs, which you did speak about earlier in the conversation? And last week, the health minister said that booster jabs will be made available 3 months after the second dose for all types of vaccines. So a larger pool of people will now be eligible for booster jabs. How will these shots be administered in light of the increasing number of recipients in the pipeline? Are we going to see the return of mega PPVs in this regard?
As per announced by YB Minister of Health, YB Kari Jamaluddin, he announced that there will be opening of mega PPVs and he will announce the details. But at Protect Health's end, from our peak experience, we continue to perfect our models. So at the moment, as you're aware, previously there was this PPV Mega. So what we have done now, we keep the PPV on-site model at the facilities, at the healthcare facilities, at the clinics, at the specialist clinic, at the hospitals, and also at the ambulatory care centers. Then we expand the model to two additional models called the PPV off-site, where the private medical practitioner now, in turn, can apply to open a bigger capacity outside the healthcare facility between 500 to 3,000 doses a day. So we call this PPV offsite. So the provider will find a location. Example, we are opening one next week in Bangsa Village 2. So the provider send a proposal to Protect Health. We will evaluate, and the provider will do everything from station 1, where you do your triage, station 2 registration with MyVas, MySejahtera, and all the way to station 5, observation. So the provider will open PPV offsite where Protect Health and Ministry of Health will evaluate and approve those locations. We also introduce PPV outreach, where the PPV is short-term with targeted vaccinees. Example, we've done a PPV outreach at Astro Awani, where a provider apply to do an outreach. They go to Astro Awani HQ. They do 5 days vaccination and vaccinate all Astro employees. So these three models has given us close to 200,000 doses a day. And as we speak, we are reviewing more PPV offsites and PPV outreach models. And we are also getting new application from the general practitioners to come on board PICK. I will also take the opportunity to encourage more private medical practitioners to come on board, as we want to increase our capacity per day to ensure that all the publics get vaccinated as early as possible, in lieu with the vaccine efficacy drop after several period, and also in view of the coming Omicron variant that proves to be more infectious than the previous variants.
At this stage, do you have any targets for the booster shot rollout from among the private medical practitioner network that you've set up?
We are looking at increasing our vaccination capacity. At the moment, we are close to 200,000. We are hoping we can reach close to 300,000 doses per day before end of January.
We have time maybe for just one more question, Dato' Anas. COVID-19 is expected to stay with us for the long term. And based on current developments, regular booster shots could be part of that future. I'm wondering what your thoughts are in this regard of Protect Health role. Do you see yourself playing this role as administrator for vaccines for the indefinite future? And my follow-up question to that is, how long can you rely on the goodwill of private medical practitioners in that regard? Because a lot of what you said, a lot of this is based on everyone feeling that public spirit, wanting to serve for the nation. But if this is seen for the long term, can that hold?
So after the implementation of PICK with the private medical practitioner, we believe that they will be on board to do this vaccination, as the amount that you mentioned earlier seems to be fair and acceptable by the private medical practitioner. And secondly, is an opportunity for more healthcare sector relationship between the public and private. Just for an example, under PKB 40, we are exploring expanding the benefits to NCD treatment with the general practitioners. We are also exploring to do wellness program for the B40. So these are potential additional service that we can purchase from the private sector. And this relationship will continue to hold, as it's part of our mandate to continue bridging public and private relationship in the healthcare sector. Actually, there's a lot to speak on that subject matter, Shazana. It's a big topic, especially on national health financing, and also on how we can continue to evolve our public healthcare system.
In that case, Dato, we hope to have you back on The Breakfast Grill in the not-too-distant future to talk more about this, because I agree, there's so many facets of a public-private partnership in healthcare that we could explore. Thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you, Shazana. Have a good day.
I've been speaking to Dato' Dr. Anas Alam Faizli, CEO of Protect Health. This has been The Breakfast Grill on BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.